Okay, good morning everybody, and I hope everyone had a nice Yontif. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Mem Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by, first anonymously, Lizchus Refuah Shleima for Noach Ben Yuspa Devora, Yishav Refuah Shleima Bekarov, by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, by the extended Rosenzweig family in honor of their mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, Grace Rosenzweig, Gittel Leah Bas Aryeh Leib, by Jerry Gross for a dear cousin, Kalman Yekutil ben Miriam Perel, and Harav Chaim Aryeh Zev ben Edel, who are both desperately battling the COVID-19 virus. And in the schluss of the daf shir, then Kol Chole Am Yisrael Shvi Zochetu Rufus Shleim Bekarv Mamish, and by Shragi Bril, Ili Nishmas, his brother-in-law, Shlomo Tadrus, Dov ben Chaim, Alav HaShalom. Thank the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are going to pick up on the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, or maybe the very top of Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and we'll just fill in what's going on over here. The Gemara was in the middle of the first thing we're going to discuss today is the connection between Dover Shein Miskavein and Melach Shein Tzrich Legufa. Both of those topics have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir and Rabbi Shimon is more mekel. So the Gemara is going to talk about whether those two machlokas are connected to each other. Then the Gemara is going to discuss mixing hot water together with cold water, both in a Kli Rishon as well as in a Kli Sheni, and in terms of how much hot water and how much cold water, what's on top, what's on the bottom. So the Gemara is going to discuss those issues of when on Shabbos you're allowed to mix hot water with cold water without a concern that you're violating Bishul, and when it is a concern that one is violating Bishul. Then the mission on the bottom of Amud Aleph going over to Amud Beis is going to talk about in general the status of a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. What may be placed in only a Kli Sheni? What may be placed in a Kli Rishon? There are going to be three basic categories of foods. There are regular foods. Regular foods can be placed in a Kli Sheni, but would become cooked in a Kli Rishon. There's what's called Kaleya Bishul, things that are cooked very easily, and one that may not even place in a Kli Sheni. And then there are Chumrei Abishul, things that do not cook easily at all, and you're even allowed to put in a Kli Rishon, provided that the Kli Rishon is low al gabei ha'esh, that it's not currently on top of the fire. Obviously, there is no food that you're allowed to place raw in a Kli Rishon al gabei ha'esh, because that's the very definition of cooking, and everything can become cooked in that way. So we're going to talk about the unique status of Tavlin, of spices, and of melach, of salt, and where exactly salt fits into those categories. Then the Mishnah, halfway down the page on Amud Beis, is going to transition to a different topic of using a kli to catch that which is the oil that's falling out of a ner. Can you put a kli under a ner to catch the oil? And the Gemara is going to talk about, what about not using a kli to catch, let's say, an egg that a chicken lays on Shabbos, but using a kli to cover the egg that a chicken lays on Shabbos? And Rav Chista is matir that, and we're going to have a machlokas that gets into tomorrow's daf already between Rabbah and Rav Yosef as to why Rav Chista is matir using a kli in that way. So let's begin. We're going to start reading from the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, but just to fill in what's going on over here. We were discussing if you take a pot of hot water and you add cold water to that pot. So the Gemara spoke about two different cases. One case where there's still hot water in the pot, and the other case where you empty the pot of the hot water and then you put cold water in the pot in order to warm up the cold water. So Abaye had said that if there's hot water in a pot, you're not allowed to put a little bit of cold water into that pot to heat up, but you could put a ton of cold water, you could pour a lot of cold water into the pot just to slightly take the chill out of the cold water. But if you've emptied the pot from the hot water, then you're not allowed to put cold water in the pot, mipnei shemitzareif, because that's going to harden the pot itself, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So we're assuming that even though that's not your intention, you're not trying to harden the pot, meaning if it was very, very hot and then immediately you put it under cold water, that will strengthen the pot, that will harden it, but that wasn't your intention. So it must be that we're assuming, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a Dover Shein Miskavein is usher. So the Gemara had said that that's only if you put in a shir lahavshir, aval shir litzari, that Rav had said rather, that if you put in enough cold water to be mitzarif, it's automatically going to be asr, whereas Shmuel holds, and this is the key, Shmuel holds, that even if you put in enough cold water into this boiling hot pot, but to enough cold water to be mitzarif it, to make it stronger, it's still going to be mutter. You're still going to be allowed to do that because that is not your intention at all. You are not trying to fix the pot. You're not trying to strengthen the pot. You're just simply adding cold water to a very hot pot. So let's pick up on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Second word on the page. Lemeimra de Shmuel Krabi Shimon Svirlei. Do you mean to tell me that Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Shimon, that a davar shein miskaven is mutter? Because that's exactly what he's saying, that you have cold water, you're putting into a boiling hot pot. It's enough, it's a shear to be mitzarif, but it's mutter because that's not your intention, because it's a davar shein miskaven. But does Shmuel really hold like Rabbi Shimon that a davar shein miskaven is mutter? Vaha amar Shmuel, but didn't Shmuel tell us in a different context, in a different machlokas, in the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about a malach shein sricha legufa, Shmuel took a stand that mechabin gachel shel matechas perushos harabim b'shvil shelo yizoku barabim. You're allowed to extinguish a coal of metal in a rishos harabim in order that people don't get hurt from it, that the rabim don't get hurt from it. And Rashi explains that de lo shayich kibui b'hachim midoraisa, because on a daraisa level, if it's a gachela shel mateches, is not subject to the melacha of kibui. Umidrabanan asur, it's only asur midrabanan. Ve'eich adika niskal rabim lo gotzra la shvus, Rashi says. Since the whole isur is only an isur midrabanan, and this can cause damage and can harm people, whenever there's a nezek of rabim at stake, we're always going to be mekel on the isur midrabanan. Avalo gachela shalait. But a gachela shalait, a gachela is made out of wood, which is nisur daraisa of mechaba, that you're not allowed to extinguish just for the sake of nezek harabim. But wait a second, why are you being mechaba this gachelas? You're the only time it's asur midaraisa to do the malacha of kibui, Rashi points out, is osei pchamin or mahavave psila, when you're doing it to constructively make something. You're trying to prepare a wick for further use, so you're extinguishing a flame on the wick to prepare it for further use, or something like that. You're making pchamin. That's when we say that there's an amalacha daraisa of mechaba. Otherwise, it's a malach shein tzricha legufa. You don't really need the kibbutz. You just don't want the fire. You just don't want the flame that's there. And that would not be, that would only be a malach shein tzricha legufa. So what's Shmuel telling us over here? That gachelas shel eitz, you're not allowed to be mechaba because it's an isur daraisa. But wait a second, it's a malach shein tzricha legufa. If you really hold like Rabbi Shimon about a malach shein tzricha legufa, it should only be in the Nisid Rabbanan. It should be Pater Avalasar. So how could it be that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Davar Shein HaMeskavein, and he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to malach shein tzricha legufa? Says Gemara, very simple. Those are two totally separate machlokas. But Davar Shein HaMeskavein, Savalak Rabbi Shimon, but malach shein tzricha legufa, Savalak Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to Davar Shein HaMeskavein, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. These two machlokos have nothing to do with each other. They're totally separate in Yanim. Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is when you're doing the exact same act, the exact same malacha that was done in the Mishkan. You're just doing it for a different purpose. A Davar Shein Meskavin is you're doing a totally different act. It just happens to be that there's a likelihood that the malacha will also result from the act that you're doing. They have nothing to do with each other. Amar Ravina, Ravina just comments, once we're talking about violating Nisid Rabbanan in order to protect public safety, Hilkach Kotz Berushos Harabim, if there's a thorn in Rushos Harabim that could be mazik people, Malicho Pachos Pachos Midal Ramos, then you can carry it less than 4 amos at a time, but ultimately carry it the whole way, just take a break every less than 4 amos, because that's only in Nisid Rabbanan. But Ubi Carmelis, if it's not in Rushos Harabim Daraisa to begin with, it's only in a Carmelis, where even carrying more than 4 amos is only an issa drabanan, afilu tuva. You can carry it as far as you want because that you're allowed to violate an issa drabanan for the sake of public safety. Tosos is bothered by what the hava amina of the Gemara was. The Gemara asks a kasha on Shmuel as if it has like some strong kasha, and then it gives the most obvious answer that you can't ask a kasha that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon on one machlokas, so how can he not hold like Rabbi Shimon on every machlokas? There's no such rule that you have to hold like the same Tana on every machlokas. Sometimes people are under that misimpression. They think that if they hold like a posek regarding one thing, then you have to hold like that posek in everything that he ever said. Very few of us actually do that. Very few of us hold like everything Rav Moshe Feinstein ever paskined. Very few of us don't hold like anything Rav Moshe Feinstein ever paskined, right? There's no such halacha that you have to follow a single shita in every single machlokas. You can't have inconsistency in your psak, meaning if the two psakim are related to each other and they're based on the same yesod, they're based on the same principle, then certainly you must be consistent within that psak. But to just say that because it's the same author of the psak, it's the same person who said the psak, that you don't have to say. Rav Asher Weiss has a nice lashon in this, in the tshuva he wrote to Tzvika Reisman, Shavu Rufu Shlema. Rav Asher Weiss writes, and Tzvika made such a cheshbon once in a letter he wrote to Rav Asher Weiss, that two machlokas should be you should have to pass like the same shita in two machlokas, and he said, v'chi kruchin yardu min hashamayim? Did these two halachos come down bound up together in min hashamayim? They're totally different from each other. They have nothing to do with each other. So Tosus bother over here. Vim Tomar, he says in the top Tosus, umay sal kadaitach demakshe v'chi mishum tosavar Shmuel k'Rabbi Shimon bein miskavin yizbar k'moso b'mlachshen shich l'gufa. Just because you hold like Shmuel when it comes to davar shen, you hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to davar shen miskavin, it means you have to hold that way by mlachshen shich l'gufa. So Tosus says, yeah, the hava mina is that haba hatalia, that they are connected to each other, that they are logical. Linked to each other, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Mlach Shein Shrich L'Gufa, you're Chayavan when you're Miskaven. So therefore, when you're not Miskaven, the Chacham were at least Machmir that it should be Asa Midrabanan. But meaning Davar Shein Miskaven is a notch below in terms of severity, one notch below Mlach Shein Shrich L'Gufa. So we thought that they're connected. These are both principles that relate to the concept called, Tosfos doesn't say it this way, but to the concept called Melechas Machsheves. And the more purposeful your malacha is on Shabbos, the more likely it is to be an issa d'oraisa. The less purposeful and mindful you are of the malacha, the less likely you are to be violating an issa. So malach shein shrich l'gufa is a higher level of malach smachsheves. Davar shein miskavin is a notch below. So Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you're chayiv from malach shein shrich l'gufa, is going to hold that davar shein miskavin is at least aser. Rabbi Shimon, who says you're potter from malach shein shrich l'gufa, by definition is going to hold that davar shein miskavin is going to be heter gomer, is going to be mutter. So that's the havamina, that they're haba hatalia. But then Tos points out that lefiha emes, the maskana of the Gemara is that lav haba hatalia, that they're not haba hatalia. And Shmuel, even though Shmuel will hold, even though Mlach Shein Shrich L'Gufa, like Rabbi Yehuda, is chayiv, but Davar Shein Miskavin is going to hold that it is mutter, that the two machlokos are not necessarily linked to each other. Granted, they both relate to the general principle called Melechas Machsheves, but in very different ways. As we pointed out before, the lack of Melechas Machsheves by Melech Shein Shrich L'Gufa was in lack of purpose, the same purpose as the Mishkan, but it's the same exact Maisa. Whereas Davar Shein Miskaven, the fact that it lacks in Melechas Machsheves is that you're doing a totally different Maisa than the Maisa Melecha. It just happens to be that the Melecha results from that Maisa. Okay, so that's part one, that the Gemara thought that maybe there's a link between those two principles, and the Gemara says there isn't, but along the way, we also learned an important halacha, that whenever there's a nezek harabim, you're allowed to violate an issa d'rabanan to protect public safety, but not an issa d'oraisa to protect public safety. Then we go weiter, aval nosin, so tan rabban, nosin adam chamin l'toch hatzonein, v'lo hatzonein l'toch hachamin divrei beishamai. Beishamai holds in the braisa that you're allowed to put hot water into cold water, but not cold water into hot water. Whether you want to put hot water in cold water or cold water in hot water, either way, it's going to be mutter. Now, Tosfos over here points points out, Beis Hillel, who allows tzonen l'tochamin, is dafka neklisheni. When he says you're allowed to put cold water into hot water, he must be talking about a neklisheni. But klirishon, even Beis Hillel will be moda that you're not allowed to put cold water into hot water. That would be a violation of bishul. But Tosel says it's not based on the principle that Rashi brings up over here, called tasa'a gavar. That's a principle that we have in Yeridaya, that if you have something hot and something cold, that you put one over the other, that the one that's on the bottom is the one that overpowers that which is on top. So if you have the hot item on the bottom, the heat rises, so we assume that it is cooking that which comes on top of it. So Tosfos says, not because this price holds tasa'a gavar like Rashi wants you to believe, because then we should use this as a raya in the machlokas, whether tasa'a gavar or ila gavar. And yet this is not one of the rayas. Furthermore, even if you hold tasa'a gavar, that when you put cold on hot, the hot is assuming to be cooking the cold. And if you put hot on cold, the cold is assuming to be cooling the hot. Yeah, that's true, but a kedei klipa, it is mevashel. It would still have the capacity to be mevashel that first kedei klipa of cold that it comes into contact with. So what's this about? If it's not about tasa'a gavar, what's this about when it comes to that Beis Hillel says that we're going to discuss pouring hot on cold and cold on hot? So says Tosos, el nir kamosh omer Rabbeinu Tam, in the first wide line of Tosos, techam letochtzon in mashma shatzon in shalmata merubim. When we talk about hot into cold versus cold into hot, we're not focused on what's on top and what's on the bottom. We're focused on quantity. How much hot is there? How much cold is there? So when I say I'm pouring cold water into the cup of hot water, it means that the majority is hot water and I'm pouring a little bit of cold water in. When I say that I'm pouring hot into cold, it means that the majority is cold water and I'm pouring a little bit of hot water in. And that's really the issue over here. So that's how Tosfos understands. So again, the Beis Shammai had held that you could put chamin into tzonein, but you may not put tzonein into chamin. Whereas Beis Hillel says, either way, it's going to be mutter. Whether you're putting hot into cold into hot, either way, it's going to be mutter. Bamedvar mamurim bekos. That's only when we're talking about putting it in a kos, that it's a klisheni. Rashi points out there are two advantages that a kos has. First of all, you want to drink what's in the kos, and since you want to drink what's in the kos, it's unlikely that you want it to be terribly hot. And second of all, it's a klisheni. Aval ba'ambati, but if you're going to put it into an ambati is some type of bath, which we assume has a status of a kli rishon, chamin l'toch hatzonin v'lo tzonin l'toch hachamin. Then even the Beis Hillel will say, you can only put in an ambati hot water into cold water, but not cold water into hot water. So if you have an ambati, which is like a kli rishon, whether it's actually a kli rishon or not, Rashi points out it's not actually kli rishon. It's just that it's meant to retain heat and it's meant to be used for very hot water. So we give it the chumras of a kli rishon. So when it comes to using an ambati of hot water, you're not allowed to pour cold water into an ambati of hot water. It's a violation of bishul that you are cooking that cold water. But then Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya oser. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says that it's oser, even to put chamin l'toch tzonein, even to put hot water into cold water. And Amar Rav Nachman alachak Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. And Rav Nachman says, yes, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Tosfos points out over here in Dibra Maskal of Ambati, he says that the Ambati that we're talking about is a klisheni, and it's not talking about an Ambati, even though previously when we spoke about Ambati, we were talking about a klirisha. So this is a klisheni. He says, if it were a klirishon, then it shouldn't have said ambati, it should have said a mecham, which is a more obvious example of a klirishon. So that must be that we're talking about a klisheni. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, Amle Abaye Tani Reb Chiya Safal Eino Ka Ambati. A smaller tub does not have a status of an ambati, as and the Ulamai de Salakadaita Mekar de Safal Rehu Kambati, and according to what we originally had in the Havamina, that a Safal, even though it too is a Klisheni, it should have the Chumras of a Klirishon like an Ambati, Vamrav Nachman Alach Rabbi Shimon Manasya, and in the end we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, who assured even pouring hot water into cold water in an Ambati, then you wouldn't even be allowed to pour hot water into cold water into a Seifel. Ela b'Shabbos rechitza b'chamin lecha. That would mean that you would not be allowed to use warm water, even to wash your hands, face, and feet on Shabbos, even if the water was heated before Shabbos, and you weren't cooking anything on Shabbos, because there would be no way to warm up the water on Shabbos. As Rashi points out, Ava b'Shabbos rechitza b'chamin lecha b'tmiha? Could that be? Da'al Rabbi Shimon afilu chamin letok tzonin oser. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not even allowed to put hot water into cold water. So lo mishkachas chamin shohuchmu v'afilu me'erev Shabbos lo yitzrich l'havik retichasan. Whenever you have hot water, even if it was heated before Shabbos, if you want to use it to wash, you're going to need to cool it off somehow. V'imkein lo yirchas afilu panav yadav ragel v'chamin. So it would turn out that there's no way to even wash your hands in somewhat warm water on Shabbos. And that can't be. There's got to be a way to wash your hands with somewhat warm water on Shabbos. So says Gemara, wait. Maybe we're misunderstanding what Rabbi Shimon meant. We said that Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya oser. What exactly does Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya oser? Mi sav Rabbi Shimon asefa koi. You think Rabbi Shimon is going on the seifa that the Tanakama allowed you to put cham in the toch tzonein? And he's saying, no, you're not allowed to pour hot water into cold water? Nah. Aresha ka'i. We're talking about pouring cold water into hot water. Ubeis Hillel matirin. We said that Beis Hillel allows pouring cold water into hot water. That Beis Hillel was matir. That bein cham l'toch in a klisheni. Bein cham l'toch tzonin. Bein tzonin l'toch chamin. That Beis Hillel allowed it both ways, even pouring cold water into hot water. But Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya oser. So in the Tochamin, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh will say, no, in a klisheni, you can pour hot water into cold water, but not cold water into hot water. So says Gemara, but wait. That just means that Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh is saying the same exact thing as the Beis Shammai. He's not saying anything different than Beis Shammai originally said. So hachi kamar. No, what he means to say is lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. That Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh is saying that we're misunderstanding what the sheet of the Beis Hillel is. That you think Beis Hillel allows you to pour cold water into hot water in a klisheni. Comes Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and he says, no, even Beis Hillel does not allow that. That this is not a machlokas between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, chazina le l'Rava d'lo kapid amana. He says, I saw that Rava was not makbid about pouring cold water into hot water in a klisheni. So midetani Rav Chia, nosin adam kiton shalmayim l'toch sefel shalmayim, bein chamin l'toch tzonein, bein tzonein l'toch chamin. Because Rav Chia taught that a person can pour water into other water, whether it's chamin l'toch tzonein or whether it's tzonein l'toch chamin. Once it's in a klisheni, anything goes. You can pour hot water into cold water into hot water, it's all fine. Some le rafuna le ravashi dil mashayni yasam de mifsakli. Now maybe in that case of where they saw that Rava was mekil, it's different because they weren't actually mixing the waters with each other. He was taking like a bottle of cold water and dipping it in a klisheni that was full of hot water, like you would warm a baby bottle that has cold milk in it by dipping it into a cup that has hot water in it. That's all he was doing. That's a different story than actually mixing the water with each other. Amalei ma'ara itmar ma'ara adam kiton shemayim toch sefer shemayim bein chamel toch son bein son toch chamin. Don't tell me that it's mifsa kli because it uses the term ma'ara. Ma'ara means it sounds like that you're allowed to pour ma'ara, that you're allowed to pour from one to the other. So if you're pouring from one to the other, it sounds like it's an actual mixture of the two items. So it can't be that it's hafsakli, and therefore we see from Rava that once it's in a klisheni, that it's all going to be mutter in a klisheni. So that's the halacha of klisheni. That if you have a davar lach that you're pouring into a klisheni, so Shulchan Aruch paskins and Simon Shin Yuche Sif Hey, that it's not Mevashel unless somehow it's one of the Kalei Abishel, which we assume is generally not. Most things are not among the Kalei Abishel, although the Mishnah Berurah says that we have to assume most things are Kalei Abishel. But anyway, so mixing water in a Kli Sheni, the Gemara is explicit at the end, is going to be Mutter. In a Kli Rishon, one has to be much, much, much more careful. The Gemara over here tells, points out, is not taking a stand on the inyan of Iroi Kli Rishon, whether Iroi Kli Rishon has a din of a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni. The Gemara entirely skips that discussion about Iroi Kli Rishon. So, as we've seen, there are three basic shitos in Rishonim, what the status of Iroi Kli Rishon is, whether it has a din of a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni, or whether it has a din of that it's only Mevashel Kedei Klipa. Okay, says the Mishnah now. This is where we really get into the discussions of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Ha'ilfus fa'kadera, you have a Kli Rishon. Ilfus and Kadera are different ways of saying Kli Rishon. You have an actual pot. She'eviron murutachin, that you've taken off the fire, so it's a Kli Rishon shelo al gabe ha'esh, but it's still boiling. Lo yiten l'tocha tavlin, you cannot put spices into such a pot, meaning tavlin will get cooked in a Kli Rishon. If you put spices in a Kli Rishon, that will be a violation of Bishel. But avol nosenu l'tocha ka'ara or l'tocha tamchui. But you're allowed to put tavlin into a Kli Sheni. Ka'ara and tamchui are different ways of saying Kli Sheni. This is where Tosus makes that point. Tosus points out on the top, mehacha lecha lemedak di iroi ki Kli Sheni. Don't try to make a diuk over here that Iroi has a din of Kli Sheni from the fact that we said that you're not allowed to put tavlin into a Kli Rishon. You might say, only a Kli Rishon you're not allowed to put it into. But you can pour hot water straight from a kettle over tavlin, and therefore you see that Iroi has a din of a Kli Sheni. He says, no, because the Seifa, you'd make the opposite diuk. In the Seifa, the Seifa says, but you could put tavlin into a Kli Sheni. So if you were making a diuk, you would say, you could put tavlin into a Kli Sheni, but you can't pour from a Kli Rishon over tavlin. So he says, obviously, you cannot derive anything about the status of Iroi Kli Rishon from here. And then Tosus points out, like we said before, in the first skinny line, that Rabbeinu Shmuel may be raya di Iroi Kli Sheni mehag de kaimelon tasa'a gavar uleri nira di Iroi Kli Rishon. The two basic shitos in Rishonim, whether Iroi is Kli Rishon or Iroi is Kli Sheni, and then way further down in Tosos, in the line that begins with De'iroi, about halfway through the skinny lines, Tosos writes, V'nire De'iroi lo avi kikli rishon v'lo kikli sheni ela mevashel kedei klipa. Iroi is neither as strong as a kli rishon nor as weak as a kli sheni. It has the ability to be mevashel a kedei klipa, just the outermost edge. Da'kaimelon kishmuel damar taso agavar, because we assume, like Shmuel, that taso agavar, that which is on the bottom, is more powerful. De'tani kavas say b'ketz atzolin, we say that way in Maseches Pesachim, when we call Malkum Mevashel Kedei Klipa, that even though Tasa Gavar, when you pour hot onto cold, we assume that that hot has the ability to be Mevashel a Klipa of that cold. The Amar Hasim Tani Kavas say to Shmuel Cham L'Tok Tzonin Tzon L'Tok Tzonin Madiach Upar Cham L'Tok Tzonin Adameikar Le Bala Eleema Cham L'Tok Tzonin Kolayf, that it says if you pour hot onto cold, you have to skim off the top layer of the cold, because that part got cooked by the cham that was poured on it. So we assume similarly that Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel a Kedei Klipa, that it's Mevashel just the outermost layer. So again, what did the Mishnah tell us so far? The Mishnah had said that if you have tavlin, if you have spices are a regular food. There's something that will get cooked in a Kli Rishon and therefore may not be placed in a Kli Rishon, but will not get cooked in a Kli Sheni and therefore may be placed in a Kli Sheni. And then Rabbi Yehuda adds, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'kolunos in chutz midavar sheyesh bo chametz v'tzir. And we're going to have to clarify what Rabbi Yehuda means by this, that, yeah, this what you're talking about is mutter, unless it's a davar charif, unless it has some sort of vinegar or brine, something that's more spicy, then it's going to cook more quickly, it's going to have more capacity to cook, and then you're going to have problems. But it's not clear which case Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. Which case are you going to have problems in tavlin in a Kli Rishon or tavlin in a Kli Sheni? So right away the Gemara raises the question. Ibailu, Rabbi Yehuda a Reisha Kai Ulukula? Is Rabbi Yehuda commenting on the Reisha What do we say in the Reisha? That you're not allowed to put tavlin in a Kli Rishon because it's going to cook. Is Rabbi Yehuda then saying, no, it's only if the Kli Rishon has a Davar Charif in it. That's when you're not allowed to put tavlin in a Kli Rishon, because the Davar Charif will allow the tavlin to get cooked. Meaning, most foods get cooked in a Kli Rishon. Tavlin, it's harder to cook, and tavlin, therefore, you don't have to worry unless it's a Davar Charif. Oh, Dilmore, maybe no. Maybe he's saying the opposite. Asefa kayu l'chumra, that the Mishnah said you may put tavlin in a klisheni. And he's saying, not always. If it's a davar charif, then you're not allowed to put tavlin even in a klisheni. In which case, Rabbi Yehuda is being more machmir. So says Mar Tashma, will bring a raya. D'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer, l'kol ilfasin hunosein, l'kol akaderos rodchos hunosein, chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir. Into all ilfasin and kaderos rodchos, those are examples of kli rishon. You're allowed to put tavlin unless there's a davar charif in it. So there you have that. He's talking about dafkin a kli rishon, that if it's a davar charif in it, then you're not allowed to put the tavlin in it. So, Rav Yosef Lemeimar, melach hareu ketavlin. Rav Yosef thought to say that salt should have the same status as tavlin. The bekli rishon b'sheila, bekli sheni lo b'sheila, that it only gets cooked in a kli rishon, and it does not get cooked in a kli sheni, meaning that salt is like a regular food that would get cooked in a kli rishon, not a kli sheni. So, Amle Abaye, Tani Rav Chia, melach, ain't a ketavlin. Salt does not have the status of a tavlin. Rather, the bekli sheni nami b'sheila, melach is what we would call kalei abishel. It's easily cooked, and since it's kalei abishel, since it's easily cooked, it's going to be usher to put salt even in a kli sheni, which would be very relevant l'halacha if we hold this way, because that would mean, according to the Mishnah Brura, there's no difference between a kli sheni and a kli shlishi. But Moshe Feinstein holds that the Gemara never talks about kli shlishi. The Gemara never says a word about what happens when something is in a kli shlishi. So the Mishnah Brura assumes, and other poskim assume, that's because kli sheni is already cool enough that it doesn't have the heat intensity is low enough that it doesn't have the capacity to cook. And therefore, it's the same as kli shlishi, kli revi. Anytime something is hot, it's no longer in a kli rishon, it's all the same. So if you're going to tell me that salt even gets cooked in a kli sheni, that would mean that you're not allowed to put salt in your soup on a Friday night, whether it's a kli sheni or a kli shlishi or whatever, because salt is easily cooked. But that's who pleaded Rav Nachman. That's against Rav Nachman. Dam Rav Nachman, Sricha Milcha Bishula Kabisra Datura. Rav Nachman says, I agree with you that salt is unique, that it's not a regular food, but you went in the wrong direction. Salt is not Mikalei Abishul. It's not one of the things that's easily cooked. Adrabah! Salt is one of the things that's Michumrei Abishul. It's like ox meat. It would only be a violation of cooking if you put salt in a Kli Rishon that's on a fire. Once it's off the fire, salt won't even cook in a Kli Rishon. The Ikadamri, and some have the conversation recorded as follows, that Sav Rav Yosef Lemeimar Melech Hareu Ketavlin. That Rav Yosef thought to say that Melech should have the status of Tavlin. The Bekli Rishon B'Sheila Bekli Sheni Lo B'Sheila, meaning like a regular food, that it gets cooked in a Kli Rishon, does not get cooked in a kli sheni. Amle Abaye, Tani Rebbe Chiya, melach ain a ketavlin. Rebbe Chiya taught that salt is not like tavlin, rather, the bekli rishon nami lo b'sheila, that right away Rebbe Chiya taught that melach is mechomrei habishol. V'hainu dam Rav Nachman, tzricha milcha bishula kabisra detura. And that fits beautifully with what Rav Nachman says, that salt needs cooking like ox meat because it is so tough to cook salt. It is mechomrei habishol. So we have two lashonos over here of what Rebbe Chiya said. Either Rebbe Chiya said that salt is more easily cooked than regular foods, or like Rav Nachman, that it's less easily cooked than normal foods. So Tosus points out in the second very wide line, Nira da'af l'pir shakuncha shapir shabakal malkum dika lishn depligi b'shal tara halach achar machmir u'b'shal sofrim halach achar achron. Rashi says whenever you have two lishonos in shas, then if we're dealing with a din d'oraisa, you go with the more machmir of the two. Over here we're talking about bishal d'oraisa, so you would think that we have to be more machmir and salt cannot even be placed in a kli sheni. That an ikadarmi is always tuffel to the lashon rishon, meaning we always pass like the first lashon, which would mean over here also lchumra, that salt even gets cooked in a kli sheni, but says Tosos, no, hacha halacha kalishna basra. Even though according to all the normal rules, we should paskin like the first lashon, but over here we're going to paskin like the second lashon. The second lashon, which holds that salt is mechomrei abishal, salt does not get easily cooked, and therefore one may place salt even in a kli rishon shelo al gabe eish, provided that it's no longer on the fire, because it's only the second lashon that says that Rabbi Chiya is in agreement with Rav Nachman, and we'd rather make him be in agreement with Rav Nachman, and therefore we're going to paskin like the second lashon, and therefore Tosfos quotes that Rabbeinu Shmuel allowed placing salt even in a kli rishon shelo al gabe eish. But then Tosfos adds, "Va'amachmir kalishna kama shaloliten melech bekara calls man shayatzaledespo tava alav bracha." So we thought we had a perfect path to kula, because Tosfos says, you know, that's how we're gonna. And he says, "But look, if you're gonna be machmir, not to put salt even in a klisheni, so long as it's still yatzaledespo, it's a good idea. It's tava alav bracha." Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yudches Siftes paskins like the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush, who follow the Lishna Basra. Shulchan Aruch says, "Kli rishon avi lachashe viru me'al eish mevashal kol zman sheyatzaledespo leficha chasulite l'tocha tavlin." You can't put tavlin in a kli rishon, aval melech muter lite l'tocha, but you're allowed to put salt, and even in a kli rishon, because it's like bisra datura. So we think we're good, but then the Rama says, you know, v'yesh osrim, you know, there are some that don't even allow putting salt in a kli sheni. And the Rama quotes this line of Tosfos, "Hamachmir tava alav bracha," that it's best to be machmir. But says the Mishnah Brura that hani mili, that's only when we're talking about salt that is mined. But salt that's made by dehydrating salt water, that is already cooked, ein bishel achar bishel, and therefore there's no violation of bishel on putting salt in hot water. The Mishnah Brura adds, "Tovli zarim kli rishon l'chavchila," that even cooked salt l'chavchila we should try to be machmir, not to at least put it in a kli rishon. And Ramosha explains, because we're worried that the salt maybe wasn't completely cooked in the factory, or maybe people don't know that the salt was already cooked. So bottom line is that Svardim can put even uncooked salt into a kli rishon, whereas Ashkenazim are machmir not to put uncooked salt even in a kli sheni. But if it's salt that was already cooked, that was already dehydrated and cooked in that way, so then you're allowed to put it into a kli sheni. There is a discussion in Poskim also, what the status of tavlin, what fits into the category of tavlin. We mentioned last week, I got a few emails about it, that that Rav Soloveitchik held, and he wasn't unique in this shita, but it's not one of the shitas, I guess, they teach in yeshivas and seminaries, so it's chiddush to people. But Rav Soloveitchik held that tea has a status of tavlin. So if tea has a status of tavlin, the Mishnah is explicit that tavlin may be placed in a kli sheni, and therefore he held that you could put a tea bag into a kli sheni on Shabbos. You could pour the hot water straight out of the urn into your cup and put the tea bag into that cup. Who's machmir? So Rav Moshe holds that no, tea is mikalei abishal, and anything that gets easily cooked, like one day about salt, anything that gets easily cooked, you're not allowed to put in a kli sheni. So he said, just look at it. Tea gets cooked easily. It's mikalei abishal. You see how easily it gets cooked, and therefore you may not cook it in a kli sheni. You have to put it in a kli shlishi. As we mentioned before, the Mishnah Brura holds there's no difference between a kli sheni and a kli shlishi. Once it's not a kli rishon, it can cook kalei abishal as long as the water is yatzaledespo, and therefore the Mishnah Brura does not even allow making tea in a kli shlishi. He holds you have to make the tea essence before Shabbos and then mix it in on Shabbos, which is somewhat of a complicated procedure. But those are the three shitos about tea. My father-in-law told me that Rav Soloveitchik said when discussing this topic that not only did his grandfather hold this way, but he said that his brother, Rav Shmuel Soloveitchik, who was a chemist, he was a chemistry professor in Yeshiva University, had told him that chemically what happens to tavlin and what happens to tea are identical, and that really tea should be a tavlin if you understand the properties of tea leaves and the properties of tavlin. Okay, so that was Rav Soloveitchik's shita. Let's see the Mishnah at least over here. So says the Mishnah, Einos and kli tachas aner lekabel bo es hashemen. You're not allowed to put a kli underneath a ner in order to catch the shemen that's coming out of the ner. Vim nasnu mibod yom mutter. But if the kli was placed there before Shabbos, that's going to be mutter. Which Tosfos points out is such a strange lashon to say. It should have said avu mibod yom nostin. But you're allowed to put the ner, the plate under the ner to catch the shemen on erev Shabbos. Why does it say if you placed it there mibod Odiom, it's mutter, an unusual, backwards lashon. Venus and mimenu lefishenu minamuchen, but you're not allowed to get hana from that oil that drips into that plate because it is enu minamuchen. It's muktza. It's something that was not designated for use from before Shabbos. So Rashi sort of sets the stage for the upcoming sugya by telling us of what the two problems here are by taking a kli and putting it under the ner. One problem is that Rashi says is ein kli nital b'Shabbos el letzorach davar nital. Whenever you move a kli on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move a kli on Shabbos, even a kli shemalach v'laheter. You're not allowed to move a kli on Shabbos for the sake of something that's muktzah, and that's what you're doing over here. You're moving this kli to catch the shemen, which itself is muktzah. And then the other issue is that you're being mevatel kli mehechano, that you're taking a kli that was perfectly usable and now you're using it to catch that which is mukta, and through that this kli is no longer usable. So that is a violation of mevatel kli mehechano. So the next sugi is going to focus on this first statement that the Gemara makes right now. We'll just read the statement. Amar Rav Chisda, just like you can't put a kli under a ner to catch the shemen, you can't put a kli under a tarnagolas to catch the beitza. But if you have a chicken that lays an egg, you're allowed to take a kli and put it over that egg. So if you're going to learn that the whole issue is that you're not allowed to be metaltel litzorech something that's muktzah, the egg is muktzah, and you're being metaltel the kli litzorech that muktzah item. But if you're going to say it's being mevatel kli meichano, you're not being mevatel kli meichano, because you would still be allowed to lift the kli off of the egg. It's not a basas l'davar aser, it's not holding the egg. So that's going to be a discussion between Rabba and Rav Yosef. We're not going to have a shir tomorrow because it's Shabbos, but between Rabba and Rav Yosef as to what the logic of Rav Chisda is. And Bez Hashem, we will pick up on Sunday at 7:45 with Daf Mem Dalet. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.